this entire so-called epidemic does not follow Koch's postulates. No virus has been isolated and proven to cause the disease in anybody. This is an entirely unscientific hysteria. And I think the World Hysteria Organization, the WHO, and Fauci and all of his buddies have to be taken to task.
From the Weston A. Price Foundation, welcome to the Wise Traditions Podcast for wise traditions in food, farming, and the healing arts. We are your source for scientific knowledge and traditional wisdom to help you achieve optimal health.
Hey, Hilda here. This is episode 237, and our guest today is Dr. Ted Koren. Ted is a graduate of the Sherman College of Chiropractic in South Carolina. He is an author and the person who helped found the Pennsylvania College of Chiropractic, where he has also taught histology, neurology, and chiropractic adjusting techniques. Speaking of which, he has developed his own Koren-specific technique, a new way to quickly and easily locate and correct serious stress, imbalances, and blockages that are often overlooked. Ted has done some serious examination of health crises over the years, and today he brings his experience and perspective to bear in our conversation. He talks about the swine flu and other pandemics, how they were handled or managed by both conventional and alternative medicine, and what the outcomes were. He also discusses why we're having such a huge response internationally to the coronavirus, although the number of deaths is a fraction of those predicted. And he also addresses why he considers hysteria to be just as contagious as any flu. Before we get into it, I want to remind you of something. The Weston A. Price Foundation has 12 trifold brochures that cover a number of topics, from the myths and truths about soy, to nutrition for mental health, to the dangers of vegan and vegetarian diets, sugar alert, and more. These are great as resources for your family and to share with friends. Get our trifold pack, one of each brochure, for only $3 on our website. Go to the Order Materials button. The link is in the show notes as well. Enjoy! And this episode is brought to you in part by Grass-Fed Thymus by Ancestral Supplements. Ancestral Supplements makes New Zealand-sourced nose-to-tail organ meats, bone marrow, and thymus in simple, convenient gelatin capsules. Based on the ancient wisdom of like supports like, consuming thymus may strengthen and support our own thymus. Find out how thymus may help us manage allergies and support immune health. More important than ever. Visit AncestralSupplements.com to see what they can do for you. Ancestral Supplements, putting back in what the modern world has left out. This is Holistic Hilda, and you're listening to Wise Traditions. Welcome to Wise Traditions, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ted, I feel like the world has turned upside down. People are panicked, afraid. There's hysteria, and the officials keep making these doomsday declarations and how the millions are going to die. Anyway, we want your take on it because you have said that hysteria is more contagious than the flu. Can you explain?
Well, people are scared of, as one researcher said, a spook. If you look at the death rates, there's no excess mortality. If you look at the predictions, I mean, we're all going to die. My God, one prediction came out. It's going to kill as many people as died in this American Civil War. That's over 500,000 deaths.
I have to tell you, I've looked at the numbers recently, and as of this date in early April, about 80,000 or so have died worldwide. Those numbers are not the millions that have been predicted.
It's a fraction of what has traditionally been considered flu deaths. The computer models have been dropping. You can do anything with computer models. You can make up anything. You can justify anything just by putting in garbage in, and then you'll get garbage out. You know, in the 1980s in the UK, there were reports on Fleet Street, the newspapers there, about children dying and being brain damaged from the pertussis shot, DPT or DTP, as we call it here. And the public was terribly alarmed, and vaccination rates dropped in the UK from about 80% to, in some areas, 10%. By the way, vaccination is not mandatory in the UK. You can be free to say no. The countries that mandate vaccination are the communist countries, the former communist countries, and the United States.
Wow.
Even Canada, in the Canadian Constitution says that people cannot be forced to have vaccines.
Wow. Well, you know what? I had heard that vaccination rates had dropped in the UK. And then what was the result? Did a lot of people start getting sick?
That's what I'm leading into. So what happened was the medical establishment went bonkers. They started predicting horrible epidemics. Kids would be dying in the streets. Bring out your dead. Remember from Monty Python? Kids would be dying all over. There'd be a horrible epidemic. And the newspapers, in fact, did report if a child tragically died either with or from pertussis. I mean, it used to be a horrible killer of children 100 years ago. And the newspapers would report major banner headlines, another pertussis death. And they were terrifying the public.
Mm.
So as I said, you have to wait till the dust settles. The dust settles, they look back. The number of deaths from pertussis in England was the lowest in recorded history that year.
You're kidding me. What year was that? Do you know, Ted?
I think it was 84. But what happened was when they stopped vaccinating, deaths dropped.
That's the opposite of what we would have expected.
Well, the opposite of what the medical, you could say the computer models would have expected. So now we go back to this present hysteria with the Wuhan flu. They don't call it a flu now because everybody knows what the flu is, and they stopped calling it corona because people are getting to be becoming aware that it's either a beer or a cold virus. So now they're calling it by a different name to make it seem so unique, but it's not. It's just the flu. And we are getting the same kind of media hysteria. And yet, when the dust settles, we are discovering that the number of deaths is dropping, dropping, dropping. And they're going to look at it and say, oh, this was no different from any other flu, but we made everybody totally hysterical. We destroyed the economy and we took away lots of people's freedoms. I don't see the upside to this, except expanding the power of the state, the media, and the pharmaceuticals. However, fortunately, there are at least a couple of countries that have not gone into this craziness, Sweden and Brazil. The death rates there are no different than their neighboring countries that have instituted extreme so-called social distancing. There is no proof social distancing really does anything, and yet we've assumed it. People are scared of each other. I was at the supermarket the other day, and a woman all masked up was near me. You know, we were shopping the same aisle. She was at least 6 feet apart. My wife tells me, don't annoy people. Stay away from them because I don't care. You know, don't annoy people. Okay, I didn't know. But then I did something that was completely unacceptable. I had a bit of a tickle in my throat, so I coughed. It was a dry cough. She grabbed her cart and practically ran 30 feet away to the other side.
Wow, but Ted, you can't blame her because she has taken in. Hey, there you go again.
Now look at that. I hope you're protected.
That's right. Well, listen, she has taken in all the news that has come from the World Health Organization, from the task force in the United States, from the media that's saying, you know, wash your hands repeatedly and keep this. So she's taking in all that information. It's normal that she would be afraid, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not blaming her. The media is driving people crazy. The only people that really don't seem to be buying into this fallacy are the people that I know in the healthcare field. So among my patients that are coming in with no problems are the dentists and the homeopaths and the naturopaths and the body workers. I take care of a lot of, in addition to the regular public, I have a lot of healthcare practitioners as patients with my work, KST, which is a very deep form of locating and releasing stress. So they're coming in. When I mentioned the virus, they roll their eyes and think it's a joke, as I do. The healthcare people that are in the know, they're not bothered by this, but everybody else is.
So help us understand, why are you so against the grain right now? Why are you so unexpectedly calm? And why are your healthcare worker friends in that same boat?
This entire so-called epidemic does not follow Koch's postulates. No virus has been isolated and proven to cause the disease in anybody. This is an entirely unscientific hysteria. And I think the World Hysteria Organization, the WHO, and Fauci and all of his buddies have to be taken to task. They are just making everybody totally crazed. And you have to, you know, politicians don't know anything about standing up to scientists. Years ago, when I wrote my book on childhood vaccinations, I asked Harris Coulter, the medical historian, to write an introduction to it, which he did. And I'm very proud of that. And in it, he mentioned that politicians that feel very confident in regulating different aspects of society, they feel they have no ability to challenge or question so-called scientists. You know, you give somebody a white coat with letters after their name, and the media bow down and kiss the ground before them and kiss their feet. This is our new religion, science. As Dennis Prager said, that people who, in this secular age, people who are not believing in God are believing in science. And scientists are people, and they make mistakes. They told us the swine flu was coming. They told us that AIDS was going to wipe out a quarter of the Earth's population. They said Zika is coming, West Nile virus, MERS, SARS. They came and went without a trace.
Yes, and Ebola. And what I don't understand is why we have had this extreme reaction to this particular virus as opposed to those others, because we weren't all locked down when, you know, Ebola or Zika or any of these others threatened us.
Oh, right. We didn't destroy the economy. We didn't lose our freedoms. That's a very good question. I think it's showing the power of the media, especially the internet, because now, I believe that they finally realized that they can control populations with hysteria, hysterical reporting. And the media love to report hysterical things. They throw us into the arms of the pharmaceutical companies, which make up such a large portion of their advertising dollars. The media is making money from this. It's a lot of collusion. And politicians love hysteria because what's that saying? Don't let a good crisis go to waste. They are. It's a perfect storm for special interest groups to make everybody nuts.
And however, for people to show their leadership, right, in the time of crisis. I'm going to help you. I'm your savior.
Oh, yeah. And if somebody, and the politicians feel like they're in a horrible bind, because if somebody dies of corona and people look at that politician and say, this person would be alive, but for you, it doesn't matter what they say. It's, well, this person was 95 years old, had cancer, heart disease, and was on lots of meds. It doesn't matter. They died and they found they tested positive. Therefore, you killed them and you're a horrible person and we're going to impeach you or run you out of office. Politicians are terrified. So it's always what if, what if, what if. We're living in a world of what if. Don't cross the street. What if you get hit by a car? Don't go outside. A meteorite might strike you. Don't drive in a car. You might get into an accident. Life is full of, unfortunately, risks. We always have a risk benefit.
You're making me laugh. I'm trying to hold it in, but this is actually so true. Life is full of risk. So I saw that a politician, Ted, said, why don't we let the people willing to take that risk go ahead and work, go ahead and go to the grocery store, do all their things? In other words, why don't we say, if you're immunocompromised or elderly or afraid, stay in. But the rest of you should go ahead and be given the freedom to do as you will, knowing that you are taking your own health and life into your hands. And I thought that was kind of a sensible solution. What do you think of that idea?
I wish you ran for office. Yeah, well, look at it this way. They say only go out for necessities. Only go to, you can go to the pharmacy, you can go to the supermarket and drugstore, but you can't go to work. And I thought, hey, people are working in the supermarket and the drugstore, and the truckers are working, and the farmers are working, and the distribution supplies are working. UPS, God knows, is working, so is, and FedEx, and how come they can work and we can't? What's going on here? This is a total fabrication that makes no sense. An essential industry. Well, you know, I got bird feeders outside of my house and they're running low. my bird supply store is closed. Now, to the birds, that is an essential industry. They could die from starvation. I'm sorry, I'm off the topic. I want my bird feeders back.
No, I hear you. And I'm thinking you're right. There are people for whom work is essential because it is how they make money to feed their families.
Think of AA. How many people who desperately need guidance and support in AA, in churches and synagogues, who thrive on that connection are now being deprived of it? How many more deaths and suicides? How many divorces? You never know. I saw one meme, which I thought was really cute. This guy wrote, I had a 1-hour conversation with my wife today. She's really nice. You know, she works in the medical industry.
So, oh my gosh.
It was really cute.
All right. So I hear you saying that we are blowing this out of proportion and we don't want to be hysterical on this podcast. We want to give some people some real concrete facts, Ted. So talk to us about how you see the flu. I've heard you call it detoxing. Can you explain that?
Oh, yes. In fact, the 1918-1919 flu pandemic is an incredibly good example. Now, you know, in 1976, one soldier died who was feverish. He went on a forced march in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and he died at mile 13. Well, at mile 13, he collapsed and they brought him to the hospital and he was dead. And a week or two later, the Surgeon General said, this looks like it could be the swine flu from 1918 that killed millions of people. And the entire country went nuts. President Ford got a flu shot in the Oval Office. They made a flu, they fast-tracked a flu shot. And when the dust settled, as I like to use that phrase now, what happened? There was no swine flu. Over 20 people died from the swine flu vaccine, and over 500 at least had Guillain-Barré syndrome. They call it French polio paralysis as a result of the vaccine.
Oh my gosh, we will put a link in the show notes to the 60 minutes exposé of that very moment in history that you're talking about.
Oh, I remember that. I put a link into my killer aspirin or killer flu blog.
Oh, yeah.
I deal specifically with it. But in addition, the death rate among medical doctors in America was 20, 30, 40, even 50% in military hospitals. However, the death rate under chiropractic, osteopathic, and homeopathic care was maybe 0.25%, something you'd expect from the flu. They didn't get into details in the various articles, but most likely they were old and sickly and had comorbid conditions, what have you. Why the great difference? Well, the medical doctors suppressed symptoms. They gave aspirin by the handful. Aspirin was a new wonder drug those days, and they didn't know how to use it properly. And they would actually tell someone, take a handful of aspirin 3 times a day. Now, that in itself is toxic, but it also prevented them from developing a healthy fever, which would, as people like to say, burn off the disease or help detox, help the because fever, various symptoms, vomiting, fever, diarrhea, lethargy, skin eruptions, mucus, pus, all very uncomfortable and unsavory things to talk about on a podcast or anywhere really, are actually beneficial. It helps your body detox. So the people in medical care were given aspirin. They were given quinine and cough suppressants, all preventing them from externalizing the toxins they had. And the death rate was abnormally high under medical care. But those under homeopathic, chiropractic, and osteopathic care, those days, especially now, osteopathy has become totally medicalized and taken over by the medical profession. But those days, those professions were into expressing symptoms, letting the body do its job, just removing blockages, interference, improving body function. So the symptoms can serve their purpose. And what we're doing now, and this happened with the SARS epidemic, this horrible SARS pandemic in I forget the year, we could look it up, but I know they compared deaths from SARS in Toronto and Singapore and Hong Kong and other countries and found that the deaths from SARS was three or four times higher in Toronto. In fact, it closed the Toronto airport, I believe, at one time. Toronto, it's not the first time they had hysteria. Toronto had it with SARS. And yet, when the dust settled, they found out that what was really killing people was the steroids they were giving. So what happened with SARS? I can even give you links for this. In Toronto, being a modern Western nation, what did they do? They gave people steroids, fever reducers, and other symptom reducers. In China, they additionally gave people antivirals like Tamiflu. And these are highly immunosuppressive and cause serious health problems because they don't permit the body to detoxify and the people die. The death rate is higher when you do suppressive care.
This is fascinating. And it reminds me, have you heard of that common adage, like rice, if you hurt yourself, like if you sprain your ankle, do rest, ice, compression, and elevation?
Yeah. Sure.
Well, the fellow that came up with that recently kind of took it back. He said, I was wrong because the body needs, the swelling is actually necessary for healing. So he actually suggests if you sprain your ankle, I don't know if you would say this as well, but that we need to let ourselves walk around on it, let ourselves feel the pain in a way so that our bodies can be stronger and let the healing happen. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying if we let our bodies experience fever, the dry cough, the different things, then they will be the stronger for it as opposed to suppressing the symptoms.
Oh, absolutely. When you work with nature, you get better results. When you permit kids to have measles, mumps, chicken pox, they actually have less cancer and heart disease and stroke later in life. And there are studies showing this. We also don't see the asthma, allergies, autism, etc.
Coming up, Ted covers how to best nurture a person who is sick, and he explains why there is a disincentive in our healthcare system to simply support the body's natural healing processes.
You're listening to the Wise Traditions podcast from the Weston A. Price Foundation. We pause now to recognize our sponsors.
I want to tell you about another resource from the Weston A. Price Foundation, our free info pack. It has our most popular brochure, The Timeless Principles of Healthy Traditional Diets, along with some other info to help you live your best, healthiest life. So just go to our website, westonaprice.org, and click on the green button that says Request Free Info Pack. It's on our homepage, and I'll put a link in the show notes too. Enjoy, it's our gift to you. And this episode is brought to you in part by Grass-Fed Thymus by Ancestral Supplements. Ancestral Supplements makes New Zealand-sourced nose-to-tail, organ meats, bone marrow, and thymus in simple, convenient gelatin capsules. Based on the ancient wisdom of like supports like, consuming thymus may strengthen and support our own thymus. Just in time for allergy season, support your thymus this spring with unique peptides such as thymosin, thymopiotin, and serum thymic factor to regulate, strengthen, and support immune health. Thymic extracts have been shown to normalize and modulate the ratio of T helper cells to suppressor cells, whether the ratio is low, as in chronic infections and cancer, or high, as in allergies and autoimmune diseases like psoriasis and rheumatoid arthritis. In other words, thymic factors appear to balance the immune response up or down as needed. So visit ancestralsupplements.com to see what they can do for you. Ancestral Supplements, putting back in what the modern world has left out. This is Holistic Hilda, and you're listening to Wise Traditions. Ted, you've made a very convincing case, I think, for our need to re-examine how we should handle pandemics and if we're even overreacting. But some people might say, you're not an infectious disease specialist. You're not, you know, one of these people that's been studying the flu for years. Why should we believe you? What would you say to them?
I am quoting experts. My work has been, in a sense, as an investigative reporter. I consider myself an empiricist in terms of healthcare, especially, and that means I only talk about what works. Now, I wasn't around for the 1918-1919 pandemic, but I can tell you what MDs, homeopaths, osteopaths, and chiropractors were discovering. And as they say, what's the phrase? A cat can look at a queen. So I am telling you what works. Now, when I did mention, I just have to parenthetically add, when I said it's healthy for kids to get measles, mumps, and chicken pox, that is true. But you always have to manage people properly. Make sure they're hydrated. Mm. You know, make sure they are well-nourished. You know, the Nourishing Traditions, the Weston Price Foundation, has much information on the healing qualities of broth, for example.
Absolutely.
Yeah, broth is a healing food, and people should have traditionally done that. You know, what do you do when a kid is sick? Sit with them, give them broth, keep them company, keep them quiet, you know, hydrated, and relax. And don't try to drive them crazy, telling them they're going to die or something. Now, when I was a kid and I'd be sick, my parents gave me orange soda, which has more sugar than any other soda. I think they were trying to kill me.
Maybe this is why your wife also tells you don't annoy people. I see a pattern here. Your parents trying to kill you. Your wife saying don't annoy people.
Yeah, I'm rebellious. I tell you, I got yelled at the post office because I think I handed a letter to somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's crazy. I'm told people are getting tickets for getting too close to one another.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the birth rate's going to drop tremendously.
We'll see about that. I've heard about Corona babies. We'll see what happens in 9 months. But listen, I'm so glad you were talking about broth and other healing modalities, because you're an empiricist. You talk about what works. And I think people listening are going to want to know, okay, I kind of buy what Ted is saying now. What can I do to protect myself?
Well, there's a few things. One is what my grandmother did. Whenever me and my brothers were sick and had fevers and all that, she appeared at the door of our apartment in Brooklyn with an enema bulb. This was the scariest thing we ever saw in our lives. And suddenly, you wouldn't believe it, just her appearance made us all better. We swore we had no more fevers. We'd hide under the bed, in closets, in the bathroom. I'd lock the door to the bathroom. People screaming. We only had one bathroom, and we had six people living there. So. But it was amazing. An enema, you know, you rehydrate and fevers would drop magically. And then horribly, we'd have to go to school the next day. We'd be all better. but this is old school stuff, you know, enemas and broth. And, you know, it's the wonderful Weston Price insights that traditional ways, ancestral ways were kept because they worked. We didn't have theories to tell us, oh, well, you shouldn't sit next to your child because they have a cough. We never had dumb theories like that. We just saw what worked and what helped people. You know, the other day, my wife told me that a man's wife was in the hospital dying of something like cystic fibrosis or something. Her lungs were deteriorating. And he would come and hold her hand. Mm. They don't let him in now because of the coronavirus. So she's going to die alone. And grandparents are not able to see their grandchildren or their children. AA meetings have been canceled. I mean, what kind of damage are we doing to our social fabric because we're afraid of an unseen, mysterious, unknowable, unsmellable, untastable something in the air that suddenly appears and we have no defense against? I think my work with cancer and with vaccines is, and work I developed, core and specific technique, chiropractic, homeopathy, naturopathy, nutrition, that you know you discuss so wonderfully in your podcast, mm-hmm. is that we have a natural healing ability. If we did not have this great immunity that our bodies develop and learn and grow from, we would have died out as a race, as humanity, thousands of years ago.
But Ted, why aren't the experts suggesting that we do some of these old school things, like you're saying? Why aren't they saying drink bone broth, build your or strengthen your immune system through these healthy habits? Why are they just talking about coming up with a vaccine?
Years ago, I had a patient. I was in downtown Philadelphia. I had an old elderly patient who came to me for care. And she said she used to go to the Hahnemann Hospital. Now, Hahnemann was the discoverer of homeopathy.
Oh, yeah.
And Hahnemann Hospital used to be a homeopathic institution, a major one in Philadelphia, but it was later taken over by the medical model, the allopathic model, as so many, and this happens a lot. That's a whole other story. So she said she used to go to Hahnemann for colonics. I said, really? I mean, you don't hear much about hospitals today giving colonics,
no.
You know, for auto intoxication, for internal cleansing. And I said, what happened? She said, well, I stopped doing it because they discovered or they developed colostomies and started doing that instead.
What's a colostomy? I know what a colonic is, but I don't know what a colostomy is.
When you have that bag on this outside of your body, they divert your intestines so you excrete into the bag.
Oh,
look up colostomy. It's pretty bizarre. People have to have their intestines removed. They excrete through the side of their body into a colostomy bag.
Mm.
And the thing was that there's a lot of money in colostomies and there's not much money in colonics. And colonics actually tell people, hey, you are in control. You can cleanse yourself. Do fasting. Do cleansing diets. Get on natural ways of traditional ways of healing and all. And however, colostomies and vaccines say to people, you are powerless. We are the ones who can heal you especially with our men and women in white coats with letters after their names who are the real experts. Well, these men and women with white coats with letters after their names have given us Alzheimer's, autism, dementias of all kinds, ADD, allergies, asthma. They have given us a generation of neurologically and immunologically damaged sick children. All these smart people ignoring the wisdom of the ancients, ignoring what works, have created a generation of sickness. Birth rates are dropping dramatically. More and more kids are chronically ill. Over half of all American children are considered to be chronically ill, and that number is getting higher and higher. When we ignore ancient wisdom, we do so at our peril. And there is a tremendous incentive to give people drugs. You make a lot of money from drugs and vaccines. And there's not that much incentive to say, you know what, with all our great intelligence and all our years of medical school, maybe your grandmother had the right idea. Robert Mendelsohn is a medical doctor who wrote a number of books. One of my favorite is Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And one of my favorite quotes from Robert Mendelsohn is, one grandmother is worth two pediatricians.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And yet, let's just say for a moment, shout out to the healthcare professionals who do have our best interest at heart, because if any of us should ever get in a car accident, for example, I'm not just going to drink a little bottle of kombucha. You know what I mean? Like, I need somebody to sew me up and help me out. So there's a place for allopathic medicine.
There's a place for repair work. And unfortunately, the allopaths have monopolized that. But it doesn't mean, but that's not healing. That is, well, that is the body being put back together. That's repair work. And there's nothing wrong with that. My brother is an ER physician. And I say, that's great. We need people who know how to fix stab wounds and burns and trauma of all kinds. And people who are in emergency situations, I have no problem with that. But that is maybe 10% or less of modern medicine. The other 90%, you could throw out every problem we have. And I'm quoting a famous attorney, actually. He didn't give me permission, but I love this quote. And who was also the Weston Price attorney, by the way. Hint, hint. Anyway, he said, name the top 10 diseases. For every one, there's a natural, less expensive, and safer alternative that works better.
Wow, that is powerful. So we're wrapping up, Ted. Tell me, what is the one thing the listener can do to improve their health? If you could just give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
Trust your body. Trust your instincts. Listen to your grandmother. Listen to the wisdom of life. Stop listening to experts. Stop just accepting blindly what so-called experts say and see if it makes sense to you. Weston Price was an empiricist. He's not often discussed in that way, but he is. He was. What he did was, he said, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's so many diets out there. Even in his day, there were loads of different diets and theories. He said, I'm going to go and discover what works. That's why the Weston Price work is so powerful, because it was based on reality. This is what kept people healthy and alive and healed them. And we should do the same thing with healthcare. Go to traditional things that work. Don't try every newfangled gadget and drug out there. You know, when I was growing up and my father was buying a car, he always said, never buy a car the first year it's out, because you never know what the problems are. Wait till the next year. Well, we should do the same thing with medical care. Don't jump into every new vaccine and drug and, you know, every chemical that's there. But let's look, step back and wait till the dust settles and look at a true cost-benefit analysis. When I was a kid, I think 4% of American children were chronically ill. And the last number, I think 10 years ago they did it. I don't think they've done it recently. In 2007, 54% are chronically ill. Don't go against nature. Don't suppress symptoms. Gee, this is more than one thing, isn't it?
just buy a couple.
Oh my God, don't suppress symptoms. Work with the body. Respect it. Use natural means. Chiropractors, you know, realign the spine and the body to release stress so your body will work better. Traditional osteopaths do that. Traditional homeopaths energetically get the body to see itself better so it would heal itself. The natural healers are best. Acupuncturists, they use needles to remove blockages to get things moving along. Anything that releases stress, physical, mental, spiritual, will make a difference and heal people.
Ted, thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. You've given us a lot to think about, and we invite the listeners' comments and questions. This is a time of a lot of anxiety and concern about health, and I'm hoping that the words that you gave today will steer people in the right direction. So thanks once again. Our guest today was Dr. Ted Koren. Visit his website, korenwellness.com, for more. And I'm Hilda Labrador. Follow me on Instagram at Holistic Hilda. And for the show notes for this and every podcast episode, just visit our website, westonaprice.org, and go to the podcast page. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay well, my friend, and see you next time.
On behalf of the Weston A. Price Foundation, thanks for listening. We have many free resources to support you on your health journey. Visit westonaprice.org to find podcasts, articles, videos, and more. You can also find a local chapter near you for help in finding sources of great food. We invite you to support the Foundation's mission of education, research, and activism by becoming a member. Thanks again, and take care. Wise Traditions is a project of the Weston A. Price Foundation for Wise Traditions in Food, Farming, and Business. The content on this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended to substitute for the advice provided by your doctor or other healthcare professional. It is not intended.